Praise the Lord. I welcome everyone who is happy to be here today in Jesus' name. I was glad, not sad, not afraid. I was glad when he said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There are people who are sad, fearful, when they are told, let us go into the house of the Lord. I learned of a teacher. He was still lying on the bed when it was about 8 o'clock. So the mom came to the room. Thank you. The mom came to the room and said, aren't you going to school today? Oh, he said, I'm afraid to go. The mom said, why? Oh, because nobody loved him in the school. He had the subject matter, and he was full of knowledge, but he was afraid to go to the class, to go to the school and teach, because he couldn't stand the situation in the school. That man learned books. He didn't learn people, didn't learn courage. And sometimes it happens in the church. I was reading, learning this week of how many pastors quit. They quit the ministry. They quit the pulpit. And when they were interviewed, why? They gave a lot of reasons. They had passion, vision, excitement at the beginning. They wanted souls saved, converted. But things turned around. The souls to be converted were not being converted. Rather, they wanted to convert them to be like they were. And so they became afraid. And when the morning time comes for the day of worship, they're rolling on the bed, and somebody has to be asking them, aren't you going to church today? And I don't know if I want to go or not, but you are the pastor, you are the preacher, everybody is waiting for you. He wasn't glad when he said unto him, let us go into the house of the Lord. But thank the Lord, you are glad. Amen. As we come to worship the Lord, because you don't see people, you see God. You don't see the traitors, you see God. You don't see the transgressors, you see God. You don't see the blackmail, you see the blessing. And so I say that after me, I am glad as I come to the house of the Lord. The Lord be with you.
Amen.
And the Lord grant you joy and gladness and blessing as you come to the house of the Lord in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father in heaven, you are Creator, Redeemer. Lord Jesus, you are our Savior and Deliverer. Holy Ghost, we thank you. You are the Comforter, and you are the partner that remains in us and with us forevermore. And Lord, as we come unto you, what joy we have in your presence. We see you, we don't see any other thing. And we know that your joy will be fulfilled in every life in Jesus' name.
Amen.
the joy of coming to you, the blessing of coming to you, the power of coming unto you. We pray you will lavish upon every heart and every life, even today, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord, help us to worship as the Bible people in the old worshiped. Help us to have the joy, the happiness, gladness, excitement, the passion, and the desire to always worship you. Nothing keeping us back, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
God bless you. We're looking at John chapter 15. I'm reading from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. You know, it's wonderful when you read the Bible. You love it from the beginning to the very end. And as you open your Bible, and you find Moses talking, how happy you are that the revelation that came to Moses has been preserved for you, because these things are reaching for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You open to the Psalms and the revelation that God gave unto David, a king and a prophet, and then he became a priest later. And it is wonderful as you read what God revealed unto him. But when you open the Bible and you hear what Jesus says, higher than any man in the old, in the new, at the present time. When you open the Bible and you hear what Jesus says, the very Son of God and the personified Word, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh, and this Word personified speaks unto you. You want to open your heart, open your life, open your past, open your present, everything unto the word of the Savior, as it says, I am the true vine, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am he, I am the door, I am the shepherd, and the shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And here it says, I am the true vine. Any other vine that's false, that's fake. But Christ, the Savior, Christ, the Lord, Christ, the power of God in man, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Some people read their Bibles upside down. They say Jesus is the Father, Jesus is the Son, and Jesus is the Holy Ghost. They try to dodge and run away from the doctrine of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But here it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, is the vine dresser. How can you equate the vine and the vine dresser to be the same? No. The Father is the husbandman. Look at verse 2. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3. in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, in verse 4, abide in me. A command, abide in me. A duty, abide in me. The believer's part to do. That's why he commands us, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5. In verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, a man, a believer, who had come into Christ, who had tasted of the goodness and the grace of God that Christ brought from heaven, if he now turns away and he does not abide, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, the Lord cannot compel anyone, and the Lord will not compel anyone to come in, to stay in, to abide in him. It's in our hand. It says, I put life and death before you. I'll not choose for you. Choose life, that she may live. And so it says in verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. In verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Verse 11. In verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Amen. Amen. We're looking at the word of God today on the joy of fruit-bearing believers in Christ. There's joy as we come to Christ. There is joy as we pray and he answers our prayer. There is joy as we go forth and bear fruit. There is joy as we have the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joyfulness, the peace, the meekness, the peace and the serenity in the soul. There is joy when the life we live, a quiet, beautiful life we live today, which we couldn't live in the past, but the grace of God has come in, and then we're able to bear the fruit of long suffering. That, you know, we're always impatient in the past, and always quick-tempered in the past. But now, we're coming to Christ, and Christ comes into us, and that quick-tempered attitude, all that is gone. That now you can have long suffering and you can have goodness. No desire to do havoc or harm to anyone, but you have the fruit of the Spirit, and you have the faith and the faithfulness and the fidelity, and you have the fruit of temperance, self-control. You know, somebody in the past struck you with a mud brick, and in the past you were looking for a stone to throw back at them and break their heart and knock them down. But now there is temperance, that even though they might throw this at you, and even though they might point that at you, but now there is that self-control. You cannot control. It's not people control. You cannot control all people. People will do what they will do. Sinners will do what they will do. Backsliders will do what they will do. You cannot control all people. But as you have the fruit of the Spirit, you may not be able to control them. You're able to control self, self-control. And it gives you joy. And that's the joy that Christ is present with you. The joy that Christ is prominent in your life. The joy that Christ is preeminent. The joy of fruit-bearing believers in Christ. The three things we're looking at. Look at number one, the connection and cleaving of faithful believers to Christ. Number two is the cultivation and cleavage of fruitless branches from Christ. Number three, the continuation and closeness of faithful, fruitful believers in Christ. Look at number one. Number one is the connection and cleaving of faithful believers to Christ. Three things we're looking at here. Number one, the conversion of forgiven believers in Christ. That's where we start. That's where everyone must start. To be a believer in Christ, a branch in Christ, number one, conversion of forgiven believers in Christ. Number two, the cleansing of fervent believers by Christ. Number three is the connection of fruitful believers with Christ. Number one, the conversion of forgiven believers in Christ. It tells us in John chapter 15 verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. You see the connection? You have the tree, and if the branch stays by itself, it dries up. It's not fresh. It cannot bear fruit. But when there is connection between the branch and the tree, then there is fruitfulness. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth, present continuous tense, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye, wherever we are, without me ye, whatever natural talent we have, whatever natural power we have, whatever we're exposed to anywhere, and whichever church we affiliate with, without him, Christ, the Savior, ye can do nothing. It tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It begins with repentance. It begins with turning away from sin. It begins with regretting that you ever did what you did. It begins with regretting remorse. How could I have done that? Your sin now makes you sad. You did it happily, joyfully, and you are running after transgression. But now, as you hear that will land you in eternal perdition, you regret, but that's not enough. There's remorse, that's not enough. Now you repent, you retreat. I won't do that anymore. And it is that retreating, repenting, that makes you to confess. And as you confess and you turn away, you don't want to do that anymore. That's how now you have faith in Christ that he died for you. You confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs chapter 28, reading from verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. There are people who do not know the connection of law with grace. And when they hear the law, that is to draw them to Christ. The law is spiritual, and the law is good. Why? Because it's the law that makes you to see your lawlessness. It's the law that makes you to see your sinfulness. It's the law that makes you to see your condemnation. The law is good. And it's the law that makes you to want to try to be a better person. And it's the law that convicts you, you cannot be a better person by yourself. Because without me, ye can do nothing. It's the law that makes you then convinced that you are impotent and powerless to do anything by yourself, that makes you to say, oh wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? And it is then grace comes in, that what you cannot do for yourself, what you cannot do by yourself, Christ has paid the price, is come to do that for you. So if you're turning your mind away from the commandments of God, from the law of God, because it condemns you, because it convicts you, if you turn your mind away, your heart away from the law of God, you say, no, what I want is prayer, and you pray, your prayer is abomination unto the Lord, because you do not allow the law to do its work and bring you to Christ, that will give you grace. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, he that confesseth a sin, he that covereth a sin, shall not prosper. The one who pretends to be a saint in church, a sinner, a Satan, a demon, a a devil at home. The one who covers it up when he's in public, he has so trained himself, she has so trained herself to look like an angel in the public, but an antagonist back in the secret at home. And so because people say, it's a good man, it's a gentleman. If you want to see the portrait of a gentleman, of a gentle lady, that's she. They cover it up very well from the onlookers. And it says, he that covereth a sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them. The Sunday conversion is not enough. I have done what I shouldn't have done. I've gone places I shouldn't have gone. I've touched things I shouldn't have touched. I have said things I shouldn't have dressed. I shouldn't have said. All that confession, that's not enough. He that confesseth and forsaketh those sins shall have mercy. And that's how the mercy of God comes. And then there is conversion. James chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 19. James chapter 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, any of you a brother, any of you a sister, any of you a believer, but now he goes astray, he goes into error, and he errs. If any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him. He has to be converted again. It's good to go and plead with them to come to the church, but coming to the church is just to hear the word of God. It's good going to them, convincing them. What's the matter? And the pastor offended me. What? Pastor offended you? Then reconcile with the pastor. It's good that you tell them and you bring them to the pastor. Pastor, as a human being, this man, this woman said you offended him. And then you hear all those flimsy excuses and you reconcile them both. A backslider needs conversion. Somebody was, you know, telling me, said, sir, are you not concerned for the people that left the church? Yes, I am. Why don't you call them? Call a meeting for those people that left the church. And, okay, what do I tell them? We know you're a real man of God, but, you know, they'll be happy if you just bow and say, I am sorry. So what am I sorry for? Did I drive them away from the church? Didn't I just preach the truth? The Bible? Yes, sir. But they were offended by the truth. So, okay, you are canceling me. Apologize to them. Bow to them. I say, but why? If you do that, they'll be so happy the pastor said sorry, and he'll come to the church. They can come to the church on the basis of a false apology. The preaching holiness, somebody gets offended. You tell people that one man, one wife, the two shall be one flesh until death do us part. They got offended because they were eyeing another woman. Now to bring them to the church, say, I am sorry. That doesn't convert anybody. It can swell the membership of the church, but it will not swell the people that get to heaven. If any of you do it from the truth, and one convert him. What backsliders need is conversion. Somebody who had been here, he knew the truth, he loved the truth, but now he erred from the truth. Pastor, you know, he's gone to that other church, he's gone to that other church, and when we meet them, they say they love their pastor here in deeper life, and they love the church deeper life. Only one thing they are waiting for. Let him say sorry for preaching holiness. Let him say sorry for staying and abiding in the truth. My friend, if we say sorry for that and they come back, you cannot preach the truth to them that you said sorry for. But they are the people to confess and to forsake their sin. Then they'll have mercy. Look at verse 20. In verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner, the backslider, is a sinner. The prodigal son is a sinner. The prodigal Jonah is a sinner. Let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. It begins with conversion. Forgiven believers in Christ. Number two is the cleansing of fervent believers by Christ. Look at that. It tells us in John chapter 15, verse 3. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. In the word that makes us clean, not error. Error does not cleanse anybody. Not false doctrine. False doctrine does not cleanse anybody. Not scripture misinterpreted. Misinterpretation of scripture doesn't cleanse anybody. Not on Christ-like message. On Christ-like message does not cleanse anyone. Ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Look at chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 10. John 13, verse 10. Jesus says to him, he that is washed needeth not save except to wash his feet, but is clean every which, and ye are clean, but not all. How did Jesus join not all? Oh, because Jesus is always truthful. The people were all there, and he said, ye are clean, but there's somebody there that made him to say, not all. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, for he knew who should betray him, and that one was sitting right there. Look at Peter, look at James, look at John, look at Matthew, look at Nathaniel, look at Bartholomew, look at all those disciples. He are clean. And Judas Iscariot was there looking at him with the corner of the eye. He are clean. But you know, Jesus knew all things. Judas had a private meeting with the Pharisees, and he's gone to them and he said, what are you going to give me if I betray him unto you. And Jesus saw him, and Jesus knew him. And then he came back, and he sat at the people's side, and he accompanied the people accompanied. And he was there, nothing changed his face, because Judas had trained himself to look normal facially when he was abnormal internally. And so Jesus said, "Ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean." For the people who loved the Lord, the people who stayed with the Lord, the people who were not like bats in the day, different in the night, different, not like chameleons. When will the church have the color, take on the color of the church? And when in the world, take on the appearance of the world? No, the people were not chameleons. The people are just straightforward. Their heart, their mind, their life, everything given unto the Lord constantly and consistently. These were the people that had cleansing in Christ, by Christ, through Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, reading from verse 26, Ephesians 5, 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Washing of water by the word. Washing, cleansing by the word. In verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. That's what cleansing does. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ, that's what it does. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You are saved, and you know, you are saved not by silver or by gold, but you are saved by the washing and the cleansing and the application of the blood of Christ. It says that it makes us holy and makes us without blemish. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from, tell me out aloud, tell me once again, cleanses us from all sin. That's what he does. We don't have any secret sin. We don't have any hidden sin. We don't have any justified sin. We don't have any peculiar sin. We don't have any habitual sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're looking at number three here. Number three is the connection of fruitful believers with Christ. It tells us in John chapter 15, verse 4. John 15, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5 says, I am always, always, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. How do you do that? You keep on reading the word that brought you to Christ. You keep on praying the prayer that brought you and that keeps you in Christ. You keep on surrendering everything. You surrendered yourself to Christ. That's how you came to be in Christ. And you keep on in that surrender that keeps you in Christ. You keep on believing. You believed in Christ. You had faith in Christ. That's what brought you into Christ. And you keep on believing in Christ as your Savior, the only Savior, as your Lord, the only Lord. That's what brought you, and you keep on in that. And you keep on honoring His name. You keep on glorifying a Father which is in heaven. And it is that, the virtue of the Lord in your life, the grace of God in your life, that brought you in. And that's the same grace that keeps you in. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. It tells us in John chapter 6, reading from verse 67. John 6, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Look at that. Will ye also go away? What if any of them had gone away? Actually, as you go to the previous verse, it says in verse 60, there's a hard saying. Who can hear this, bear this? Who can keep on hearing this? And it says, from that time, many of his disciples went back, and they did not go along with him anymore. Did Jesus go to them and say, please, where are you going? Look at only the 12 remaining. If you go, you know, how will the church cover the whole world? Please. And begin to apologize to them. No, he didn't go to apologize to the people that didn't love the truth, didn't abide in the truth, didn't accept the truth. He didn't go to the people looking at Christ, the divine, as ordinary, as human. And he's, how can this man say what he's saying? That except you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you don't have any life in you. They said they were going. He didn't change the message and go to apologize to them. Please, I'm sorry for what I said. But he asked the 12 remaining. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Verse 68. In verse 68, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, he recommitted himself and recommitted the people. And he didn't say, yes, Lord, we're staying, but you know, it's tough. We're staying, but it's hard. He said, Lord, he called him Lord. You are the controller of our lives, and we still surrender unto you, Lord. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Verse 69. In verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He knew the one whose mind, whose heart had gone after the devil. He had power to keep him, but the man didn't want to be kept. The Father has the power to keep him, and nobody has more power than the Father that could have made him to stray. But he himself had depravity on the inside, covetousness on the inside, money loving nature on the inside, and that's the thing that drew him away. Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? In verse 71, he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. But you know, he wants us to keep connected unto him, because without him, ye can do nothing good of yourself, by yourself, in yourself. Look at Acts chapter 11, reading here from verse 23. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and exhorted them all that were purpose of heart, they will cleave unto the Lord. The purpose of heart. You had a purpose when you came in to Christ. That same purpose, retain that purpose so that you cleave to Christ. You had a purpose when you said bye-bye to the world and you say welcome to Christ. That same purpose. Don't throw it off. Still keep on saying bye-bye to the world and welcome Christ to be the Lord of your life. You had a purpose when you gave up all the things of the world, gold or the thing that glitters like gold but not real gold, and you give them up, and now you abide in Christ. Have that same purpose of heart and cleave unto the Lord. Look at Galatians chapter 2, reading from verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. That's Paul the apostle, converted. That's Paul the apostle, connected with Christ. That's Paul the apostle, and he kept that connection, and he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, different from the life I lived in the past, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Point number two here. Point number two is the cultivation and cleavage of fruitless branches from Christ. In John chapter 15, verse 2. John chapter 15, verse 2. After he had said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. My Father is the vine dresser. My Father is the cultivator. Now he says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me, the branch was in him, connected to him, converted by him, cleansed by him. But the branch that will not abide, will not remain, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he, the Father, the vine dresser, the husbandman, the final authority, taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. In verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he remains in the church, but his life has gone upside down. If a man abideth not in me, is giving up the lordship of Christ, and self now rules him. If a man abideth not in me, is no more abiding in the Savior and in his salvation, but now he abides in sin, in self, and under Satan's control. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Three things here. Number one is the concern for fruitless branches by the cultivator. Number two, the cleavage of false brethren from Christ. Number three, the casting of fruitless branches into the conflagration. Number one is the concern for fruitless branches by the cultivator. God has concern. The preacher, the shepherd, has concern. Christ has concern. Anyone that loves souls to get to heaven has concern. The concern for fruitless branches by the cultivator. We're told in John chapter 15, reading from verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father, the husbandman, the cultivator. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's sound doctrine. Sound doctrine preached by Christ. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. This is false doctrine now. Is saved, forever saved. Is a branch in Christ. Whatever he does, whether he abides or he does not abide, he remains in Christ and for Christ forever. That's false doctrine. That's why such preachers, they do not have any concern for the truth, any concern to abide in the truth, because in their mind, in their heart, in their doctrine. They believe that even if a believer does not abide in Christ, a branch does not abide in Christ, that forever he is saved. Such people don't have the concern of the cultivator. But every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Second Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 20. Second Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envies, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. Verse 21. In verse 21, and lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already and have not repented of the uncleanness and the fornication and the lasciviousness which they have committed. You know, your concern as Paul, as the pastor, as a preacher, he said, when I come, I'm concerned you will not find me as you would. You want a happy, smiling pastor, a person that's saying, be courageous, we are going forth, we're going to do it. But you'll not find Paul like you would, because he's not finding you as he would. Because there's backbiting, because there's backsliding, because there is evil, because there is sinfulness, because there are fornicators, there are adulterers. And after hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God, they don't repent. It says that was his concern. Philippians chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 18. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. He was concerned. He should be concerned. Look at verse 19. Whose end is destruction. Not the concern that you labor on people. That's the concern that you burn the midnight oil and prepare to give them the message that will turn them around and turn them towards heaven. But on the other hand, they remain rigid, glued to the siege of sinfulness. And he knows their end will be destruction, whose God is their belly. Talk about prosperity, they'll be shouting amen, amen. Talk about healing, they'll be shouting amen, amen. And talk about food, and talk about how they are going to live long in rebellion here on earth. Long life, long life, long life, blessing all the time while they're living in their sin, their God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind at least things. That's why Paul the apostle was concerned. He was a cultivator, he was a preacher, and any preacher should be concerned today. If the church is turned from the assembly of holy saints to a fellowship of sinful people, every preacher, not just any, every preacher should be concerned. The concern for fruitless branches by the cultivator. Look at number two. Number two is the cleavage, the cutting off of false brethren from Christ. It tells us in John chapter 15, verse 2, every branch, some have been there long-standing branches. Every branch, some have been there just for a few years. Every branch, male or female. Every branch, a worker or a person walking away from the Lord. Every branch, men, women, young, old, is the same salvation for everyone, young or old. And if there's backsliding is the same, turning away from the Lord. And backsliding has the same consequence, whether on the young or on the old. Every man in me, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Romans chapter 11, reading from verse 22. Romans 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God on them which fail severity. The judgment of God comes without partiality to the people that will not abide. They will not abide in the truth. They will not abide with the Savior. They will not abide in righteousness. The severity of God on them which fail. But toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. He wants us to abide. If we don't abide, we're cut off. In Jude chapter 1, reading from verse 12. Jude 1:12. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, cloud, they are without water, carried about of wind, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. The people who do not have the fruit of the Spirit anymore, no love, only hatred, no love, only animosity, no joy, only sadness. They hear the truth, no more joy in that. They hear of other people being converted, no more joy in that. You only have joy when they have their way. And the fruit of peace is no more there. There is strife, there's contention, there is conflict, There's fighting within and fighting without. No more meekness, no more gentleness. The fruit is no more there. It says without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Faith, faithfulness, fidelity, no more there. They're no more faithful to the things they have heard, to the things they had known, and to the consecration they had made unto God in the past. There's no more temperance. There's more no more self-control. Whatever they want to say, whether they want to assault or insult, they just say it. There's no control anymore of their spirit, of their heart, no control of their tongue, no control of their behavior, no more control. They have no fruits anymore. And the cutting off, the cleavage of false brethren. They still call themselves brothers. Others still call them brothers, sisters. But it's all false. Because it says they have no more fruit. Look at verse 13. In verse 13, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. We're coming to number three here. Number three, the casting of fruitless branches into the conflagration. We're looking at John chapter 15, reading from verse 6. If a man abide not in me, the words of Christ. If a man abide not in me, it's still the word of Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. If a man abide not in me, is the word of the impartial Christ. Is the word of Christ irrevocable, unchangeable. If a man abide not in me, there are people that make Christ to contradict himself. And they said, my sheep know me, and I know my sheep. And no man can take my sheep out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, true. But they make him, Christ, to contradict himself. But you remember what he said? He said, I know my sheep. The Lord knoweth those who are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. My sheep know me, and I know my sheep, and they follow me. We follow the steps of Christ. And as long as he knows us, that we know him and we're following him, no man can take us out of his hand. But if we don't abide in him, and we forsake him, and we deny him, and first of all, we start following self-will, and there is no grace anymore to follow the way, the will, and the word of God. And then we follow sinners. What sinners are doing, we follow them. If you follow self, follow sinners, and follow Satan. Satan is the arch enemy, the great enemy of Christ. And Satan doesn't want the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary to bear fruit. And he wants to rubbish everything. You believe in Christ, keep on believing in Christ, but give your life and your character, your behavior to me, and he directs your character. You follow self, sinners, you follow Satan, you cannot be coaching the promise of Christ. I know my sheep and they know me and they follow me, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. But now come to this verse 6. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. In Matthew chapter 7, reading from verse 19, Matthew 7, verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, and cast into the fire. Verse 20, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. How do you know the trees that shall be cast into the fire? By their fruit. Not by their charisma, not by their gifts, not by the miracles. Verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, that final day, that judgment day, that reckoning day, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I knew you, I never knew you, because gifts are not sufficient, prophecy not sufficient, working miracles not sufficient, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, that is not sufficient. We need fruit, the fruit of love, joy in serving the Lord, peace, long suffering, patience, perseverance. We need the fruit of meekness, of gentleness, of faith, fidelity, of faithfulness. We need the fruit of self-control. Gifts are not enough. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm reading from verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Whatever we're doing, we should think of the latter end. We should think of the rapture. And we should think of the day of death. Younger people have died, older people have died, friends and people of the same age have died. Think of the latter end. Think of the day of rapture. Think of your latter end. That's our wisdom in our behavior, in our character, in our characteristics, everything we do, everywhere we go, everything we say, everything we handle. Oh, that you were wise and you considered your latter end. I come into point number three. Point number three is the continuation and the closeness of fruitful believers in Christ. He tells us in John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, how do I know that I'm abiding in him? My words abide in you. If ye abide in me, how does a Christian know that he or she is abiding in Christ? It's not by the way we feel. I feel that I'm abiding in Christ. No, it's not by feeling. I believe. Nobody will make me doubt. I abide in Christ. No, it's not by that kind of rash courage. How do we know that you abide in Christ? If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. It's the word abiding in us that makes us to know and that makes other people to know that we abide in Christ. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Look at verse 8. In verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Every time you don't bear fruit, the Father is not glorified. Every time you're bearing the fruit of the flesh, the works of the flesh, the behavior of the flesh, the attitude of fleshly, worldly people, you are not glorifying Christ. It's when you bear fruit, bear more fruit, bear much fruit, that you glorify the Father. So shall ye be my disciples. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the command to continue in the word of Christ. Number two, the confidence to connect with the wonders through Christ. Number three, the Christ-likeness to concentrate on his work till consummation. Number one is the command to continue in the word of Christ. It tells us in John chapter 15, reading from verse 9. In verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. And if you love me, you will do what I say unto you. Continue. In John chapter 8, verse 31. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Continue in the word. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. In Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learnt and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learnt them. Continue, continue. He wants us to continue and he doesn't want us to leave or to go back. And if somebody has gone back, he doesn't want that person to, you know, to rejoice in going back. I was in deep line. Why the word was. Let me tell you why I led deep line. God is not interested in that. That you even led, you didn't consider the latter end. And now let me tell you, honestly, tell me, why do you want to tell the world why you left? Are you trying to influence other people to leave also? And if you have all these people and you have all that system and, you know, something crops up, let me tell you why I led. And you waste precious time reading, listening. I want to know why he led. I want to know why she led. Why do you want to know? Do you want to go to him, go to her, and bring her back to the truth? What do you want to know? Are you considering leaving the truth yourself? And I want to compare with the other person. No, God wants you to continue. You will continue in Jesus' name. Publicizing why you left. Check up your Bible. Barnabas, can you publicize why you left Paul? No, he was regretting it. How can you publicize that? Demas, can you publicize? Let me tell you why I left. No, he's regretting that. Judas, are you happy you left? Can you tell why you left? No, they're not happy. What are you going to? You know, I want to tell you why I left. No, you're telling us why. You didn't obey the commandment of the Lord. And by the way, whatever made you leave, other people had challenges also. The same kind of challenge and the stage. You didn't have the grace to stay. And now you are publicizing. I'll tell you why I left. Son, daughter, don't do that. Come back and continue as the Lord himself has commanded that we continue as fruit-bearing believers and will continue in the word of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. In verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. That's the command. Don't leave. Continue in them. Ask for more grace. Continue in them. Consecrate afresh to abide in the truth. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. We're looking at number two here. Number two, the confidence to connect with wonders through Christ. It tells us in John chapter 15, verse 7. John 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The Lord will hear your prayer. In chapter 14, I'm reading from verse 13. John chapter 14, verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. In verse 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Look at verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And then in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. We're looking at 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. 1 John chapter 3, reading from verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward him. As you hear the word of God, and the Lord reveals his mind, his will unto you, it says, if our hearts already cleansed, washed clean, if our hearts are well connected unto him through his word, and our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Verse 22. In verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. That's what gives us confidence. We're not backsliders. That's what gives us confidence. We're not prodigal sons, prodigal daughters. This is what gives us confidence, that we cleave to Christ, we continue in Christ, and we're totally cleansed and we remain clean in Christ by Christ. It says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. We come to number three here. Number three, the cast in the Christ likeness, to concentrate on his work till the day, the time of consummation. We're looking at John chapter 9, to be for Christ. To be like Christ, to live in Christ, to live like Christ, never deviating, never going astray, but abiding in the word, in the work, in the will, in the way of Christ. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work. Here is Christ. I must work the works of him that sent me. And you know, if you are in Christ, a believer in Christ, you know, if you are in Christ, a beloved in Christ, the Father has sent me, even so sent I you. You're not looking here and there. You're not looking at bad examples of those who say they led. You're looking unto Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. Like he said, I must. The same words of Christ, decision of Christ, determination of Christ, the same dedication of Christ will be in you. And what he said, you will say from real conviction and commitment, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 43. In verse 43, and he said unto them, I must. That's what you say if you are Christ-like. If you appreciate and you love, you adore the life and the commitment of Christ. And if your prayer is always to be like Christ, your Savior. Here is what he said. Here is what he did. Here is what you ought to say. Here is what you ought to do. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For therefore am I sent. He didn't quit. He doesn't expect you to quit. He wants you to be like him, that you follow his footsteps. Second Timothy chapter 4, reading from verse 1. It says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living, the quick, and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word. Here is what he has called us to do. Here is what he did. The word of salvation. The word of soul winning for soul winners. The word of steadfastness, that you keep at it and keep at it. You'll be oppressed, keep at it. Opposed, keep at it. You'll be insulted, keep at it. You might be assaulted, keep at it. You might be lied against, keep at it. They might make jest of you, keep at it. They might say, I was like that before, but I quit. Don't worry, keep at it. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, don't give it up. Reprove, rebuke, exhort without long suffering and doctrine. In verse 5, he tells us, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Don't quit. Don't leave because of persecution, misunderstanding, afflictions, because they're not allowing you to have your way. Don't leave because of marriage. You know, I pointed to that one and she said no. I pointed to the other one and she said no. Okay, I'll go to an easier church, easier place, where they even be so glad I'm a graduate and I'm a car owner and I have a company, and they'll be glad of my position. And if I say, thou art my wife, yes or no? And remember, before you answer, I have a car, I have a company, and I'm earning, four digit salary. Okay, yes, that's what they want. But no, whether there's disappointment or not, disappointment will not be forever. Amen. Give me a good amen. Amen. Marriage has made many people to leave what they used to love, but endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Revelation chapter 2, verse 25. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 25, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Amen. Hold how? Tell me. If you hold anything with a loose hand, Satan knows. If you have a but in your consecration, an if in your consecration, Satan knows. And if you say, I'll keep on pursuing, I'll keep on serving, if, that's what Satan will hold, that if. He knows you are not holding fast until Christ comes. Once you have a but, I consecrate, I yield, I surrender. But if this happens, you're not holding it with a firm hand. But Jesus wants you to hold it fast. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. It says that which ye have already, hold fast till I come, till the consummation. Verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 27, it says, he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. Verse 29, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, unto all the churches. What he has told us today, the very words of Christ, the word he wants us to hear. And he says, he's speaking that to all the churches. I am the true vine, and my Father, the husband man. If a branch abideth not in me, he says, the Father taketh him out. And the branch that bears fruit, the Father purges it, that it may bear more fruit. And ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and let my words abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. And it says, abide in me, and let his word abide in you, so that whatsoever ye ask will be given unto you. But if a man abideth not in me, he is cast off as a branch, and men gather them up, and they throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. If he abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And it says, this is the joy you have, that you abide in the Lord. I pray that this joy this privilege no man will take away from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. He wants us to abide in him. And he wants his word to abide in us. And he wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to understand, in this is the Heavenly Father glorified, that you abide in Christ, that you bear much fruit.